Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. In his message titled, Your Heart's Desire, Reverend David Williams tells us, then we need to try to focus on what really matters. With all of the earthly distractions, we need to remember what is right and what God wants from us. When we do what is right, we grow in God's grace and become the people God wants us to be. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather here today to try to focus on what we know really matters, to try to focus on our purpose, to try to focus on who God wants us to be as persons, to try to focus on that love that God asks all of us to bear for one another. But as we gather here, we can freely admit that there are all sorts of things that turn our attention from that purpose, that turn us away from who we know we are meant to be and how we know we are meant to be, and shift our eyes. Often these are shiny, pretty things that we want. And so we are distracted and tested and tempted in so much of what we do. Let's now admit that. Let's pray it together using the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious God, loving God, our world is full of temptation. It's the basis of our economy, the whole way we run our world. Everything we could ever want or desire is dangled before us. Cars and houses and shoes and technological magic, all promising satisfaction for the 5 minutes until something better comes along. All around us, we are told that happiness is one product or service away, and half of the time, we find ourselves believing it. Forgive us, gracious one, for our distractibility. Forgive us, Lord, because we find ourselves chasing our hungers down dark and empty paths. In Christ, we ask this. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from Luke's Gospel. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. You can follow along on page 61 of your pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We've been working through the Lord's Prayer, bit by bit, snippet by snippet, and the next little snippet goes, "Lead us not into temptation." Lead us not into temptation, which is a peculiar thing given the society in which we live, because our culture lives and breathes temptation. Temptation is the driving force of our economic system. Temptation forms and shapes so much of what we see and perceive, so much of who we are told we have to be. I mean, we have a hard time enough getting ourselves focused anyway. But we who live in this culture that is so commercial, have so many inputs, countless inputs, stirring our hungers. Our society wants us to want things. It wants us to desire. I mean, advertising and marketing in the United States alone is a $200 billion industry. And what it feeds us, this industry, with its heady blend of product and power and sex and hunger and fear, all blended up and mixed together to drive our desire, that becomes part of us whether we want it to be or not. Temptation as something we all experience, that doesn't help. It really doesn't. The 500 ad views the average American sees any given day, we only pay attention to about 30 to 70 of them. But still, did you talk to 30 or 70 other human beings today? No. Temptation is something our culture does, but as a thing, it goes deeper than that in us. It's deeper than the manipulations of marketing. We feel that temptation whenever we try to change ourselves into something more like who we know we are meant to be. We feel that whenever we want to shift into being someone new, being someone a little better. Like when I made the commitment to get myself healthy a couple years back, that was a basic thing, you know. Here, I can do this. This is going to be straightforward. It's so simple, so easy. Just eat less, exercise more. It's easy as can be. But once you have a pattern in you, a way that you live, those routines that you have written and rewritten over yourself, those aren't easily done and undone. When we try to shift who we are, to move down a new path, to put old ways aside, we find that those old ways fight back. And they fight back using the most elemental parts of our identity, our hunger, our fear of those things that can harm us, our desire for power and for pleasure. All of that draws us back, tempts us away. And I'm writing this sermon when I'm sitting down there writing it, and I'm hungry, and I'm sitting there in Starbucks, and I'm hungry, and I want caffeine, but I want it, you know, low-cal, and there's signs all around me. It's a sip, a sweet escape. I can escape from this hunger and this need for, you know. And they've got this, like these pictures of sweet caramel, creamy concoctions. I'm like, oh, I want that so badly right now. Or like when you go to the mall, which I do as infrequently as I can. I hate the mall, but I go there every once in a while. And you know you're trying to be good, and you're trying to be healthy, and you're trying to be strong. And then there's you pass the Cinnabon, and they're pumping that smell out. And it's like, oh, it's a siren song calling us to crash on the caloric rocks. And desire is everywhere. Or when I'm trying to write, not just sermons, but trying to live into what gifts I've been given so that I'm being creative. Or if I'm not being that, at least experiencing the simple satisfaction of getting things done around the house. You know, the sink is empty of dishes. It's a miracle. It's, the kitchen floor is swept and mopped, and it's just like you step back and you're like, wow, I actually did that. It's a small pleasure. It really is. But it's so easy to be turned from that. Tempted away with Facebook, where there's always something funny, some silly thing that has distracted the world today. I can look at it and I can click on it, and oh, and this person shared that, and oh, there's that person I knew, and this thing, and that thing. And then I go from there to being on Twitter with those neat little lists I've created to get feeds of everything that I am interested in, and I click and I like and I comment, and suddenly an hour has passed, and I've done nothing besides read a comment thread and take three stupid little quizzes. And I'm drawn away into just this scattered nothing. I'm tempted and pulled. Or when I'm doing something simple, like trying to stay on the path that I have set for myself this Lenten season, which is a path not just of more intentional prayer, but setting aside something that lets me mark the season. A pointless pleasure, a habit that's simply a habit, neither a mortal sin or overly meaningful. And for me, for the last decade or more, that has meant this season is a time when I fast from adult fermented beverages. And I know there are people who struggle with it, but for me, it's never been an addiction. It's never reached that point of pathology. It's just, a beer or two, or a glass or two of wine to sort of warm your evening as you're sitting and reading. It's a pattern. Nothing more, just a habit that should be easy to set aside. Oh, just a habit, it's nothing. But every year in those first few weeks when I set that aside, the not doing is like an itch I'm feeling in a missing phantom limb. I'm making dinner waiting for my wife to show up at home as the kids putter around doing whatever they're doing, and I want to pop open that IPA because that's what I do. Or when we sit down with my in-laws for that family meal and they set out a Merlot, and it's oaky with tones of elderberry and what's that flavor? A hint of warm outgassing esters from the green vinyl front seat of a 1972 Dodge Polara. I want that flavor, that taste, which is just part of the habit and pattern of my life, even though I have committed to set and mark that time by changing that. That hunger is there, challenging me, calling me, pulling me to be something other than who I want to be in that moment. Or as I am driving, and I pass a certain place where once I was very, very angry with someone close to me. I was so broken and angry in that place that every time I drive past it, I start thinking that same thought again. I am so angry with him. And I'll realize I'm only thinking that anger. I've only forgotten that I've forgiven him. because I am passing that place in that moment. It's involuntary. But it teases me into taking up that anger again and living it again, even though I don't want it because I've set it aside. Those wantings that come when we are tempted break who we are and want to be as people. They don't mirror our aspirations for ourselves. They don't reflect healthy and restored relationships with others. They break us apart. What we're trying to do in faith and in life is to, as some of the more progressive mystics, and they call it, we are forming ourselves as an integrated person. We are integrating ourselves, which is really just a slightly newfangled way of saying we want to have integrity. We want to be integrated. We see that self we have set before us and see that self God wants to be, and we strive towards it. But the things that tempt us, they can be good. They can test that commitment, sure, but they can also be what disintegrates us, which tears us apart, leaving nothing but a squiggly, aimless mess of hunger and anger and soul emptiness. Our desires do that. That's why there is no subtler or more powerful curse to wish upon an enemy than this: may you get everything your heart desires. Let them work that out for a while. I don't commend cursing. Others don't. Don't do it. It's a bad thing. Instead, there is the blessing that comes from forgiveness and this most basic of prayers, in which Jesus asks us to pray, "Don't lead us into temptation." Just don't, Lord. Don't place us in that spot that makes us angry, or that moment where we feel the yearning for that old hunger. And I hear this prayer commended to us, and the first reaction, I said, "What? God is leading us into temptation? We're asking God not to do this?" And that seems peculiar, but this is a prayer that gets odder. And in reflecting on it, I get into thinking about this word we heard from Luke this morning, that gospel story that begins this season of Lent. Because these 40 days come from that time when Jesus wanders out into the desert for the specific purpose of doing the thing that he just asked us to pray not to happen to us. He goes out into the desert to be tempted, to be tested. And for us, given how temptation plays against our lives, this gets even weirder, because if you are going to be tempted, where are you going to go? You're like, "Well, I want to go somewhere where I'm really going to be tempted." Generally, we wouldn't think, you know, the middle of nowhere in the desert southwest. That is not where we're going to go, unless that middle of nowhere is Vegas. That is where we go. We go to the place where our hungers and our yearnings are most visibly manifest. We go to Vegas, or we go to New Orleans, or we go to some seedy back alley in Bangkok, but we don't go out into the middle of nowhere where there is nothing. It seems strange. But Jesus goes to the wilderness, to the empty place, looking to be tested by temptation. And those two words in the Greek we get are exactly the same: testing and tempting. He is going there to look for it. And I think the fact that he is going there to look for it speaks to the nature of our tempting, where it really lies. Because human beings honestly don't need outside influences to test them. The test, the greatest test of our commitment to who we mean to be, isn't necessarily in the external pressures and choices that surround us. the most profound test of that rests in us, in our nature as persons. If you are carrying with yourselves hungers, they are going to be there in the desert just as fully as they'll be if you're popping by Cold Stone for a couple thousand calories. If you carry in yourself a desire for power over other human beings, that will ride your soul just as strongly when you are in solitude as it will when you interact with others. Those parts of us that we don't want to rule us, that are set against the best self we want to be, they are with us everywhere we go. And so Jesus went out to that place where there is nothing but you and God, to that place where everything else is swept aside. And there he was tested and sought out the temptations that specifically were placed there for him, to use his power for himself, to use his gift to control others. He would have none of that. He sought that testing. And again, in this season, I think it's fair to ask, as we pray that prayer, aren't we supposed to want that in this time? Isn't that what we are meant to be doing? To seek out places that test us, to make sure we are actually the people we are claiming to be? That's Lent, right? In its highest form, not in the, you know, I give up the two beers I drink form, but in the, I am really challenging myself to see that I am the person of faith that I am claiming to be. Why is that something we would avoid and pray to escape? I think as we pray this, it's important to acknowledge that those times where we test and challenge our faith are important, but they can also be really hard on us. Really hard. We can bear up under it for a while, but sometimes it's just more than we want to encounter. It's just too much. When Jesus went into the desert to seek his testing, and that's how we begin our season. But that wilderness experience was not his hardest test. That came later. It's not the test that begins this season, that sets our 40 days, but it is the test that comes at the end of the season that really said who he was. It's the test that began in that garden in Gethsemane when he was alone and knew what was coming. And there, he didn't say, I am really looking forward to the temptation to not be the person that you have made me to be and to not do what I am meant to do. He didn't say, awesome, I am looking forward to this. He prayed a prayer that's very similar to what he asks us to pray. Asking God, do you really need to? Because if you can do this any other way, if there's any other way around this, can you please do it that way? It is our right and within our rights to say, don't push us past this. We can ask that. Sometimes we have to go there anyway. He certainly did. But it's all right to say, God, insofar as it can be so, don't test me more than I can bear with your help right now. Don't take me to those places where my fear will rule me and my anger will draw me away from you and my hungers and desires will make me less than who I know you want me to be. And the thing about asking God that is that it reminds us not to walk there ourselves. If we are so bold as to ask our Creator, please don't take me there, then we have to forget that before we walk that path ourselves. And that, I think, is the most important part of this piece. We are so bold as to ask the creator of the universe, please don't put me in that place of temptation. So that as we're walking there ourselves, we can say, what did I just ask? Why is it important that I not do this thing? Lead us not into that place where we will fall away from who we are meant to be. We can ask that. Let that asking be yours and mine, and let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
We all have places that test us, that try that self we want to be, places where we're walking along and it's like the ground shifts off in a direction. So you think you're going one way and you find yourself stumbling off another. Those are the places where our commitment to the path are most tested. And sometimes that's something that we can handle. You know how to right your balance. You know how to keep walking in the way you know you must go if we're to live out those lives that Jesus has called us to live. But there are other places where you find yourself where you just go careening off and it's a mess and it's an old familiar mess and you've been there 1,000 times and it's such a familiar path you can't pull yourself out of it. When you are in those places, remember this prayer. Don't lead me there. Don't have me stand in encounter. Help me find another route so that when I pass that place that always makes me angry, or that place where my old and hateful memory resides, I won't be that soul in that moment. Each of you knows what that is for you. As you offer up this prayer, understand that God does not want you in that place of brokenness. Push past it and find that new place where you can be more gracious, be more kind, be more of that soul that you were called to be. It's okay to pray that and ask that. And so hear it and live that life. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you and with us and with the whole world this day and tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen.